here on ESPN 730, Charlotte's home for sports. Welcome back to the Pulse, to the bottom line. I got so caught up in the four tops.
You just want to be a part of the A-team, too, which Al is the A-team.
Excuse me. I've been there already.
Okay. You guys are above. What's above the A-team?
Do you need a card? Do you need a card? I'll explain it to him. I'll explain it to you later. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Welcome back to the bottom line. ESPN 730, ESPN730.com. Lanny Ford, Al Gardner, Stuart Davis. And we gave you a little preview on our next guest, and we'll go over to the guest line and bring on Dr. Bill Thierfelder. And Doctor, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Lanny. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
You know, you've got quite a history of your involvement in sports, a world-class athlete in the high jump at the University of Maryland, the educational process that you've been through, the book that you have written about how to achieve those levels, and then you look at the folks that give you ringing endorsements, the Jerry Richardsons,
Humpy Wheeler,
the forward from Mike Krzyzewski. You know, you've got the things out there. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Well, all it proves is God uses the most inadequate instruments to accomplish his will, so there'll be no mistake in his will. So he puts me in the oddest places and gives me some great opportunities and puts me in with some good people.
Well said, well said. And you're also president of Belmont Abbey College. I didn't even squeeze that in there, but
yeah, that's only a 24/7 job.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to bring up the family size that you've got. You know, I thought I would be father of ten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, needless to say, you stay quite busy.
Yeah, life is full, to say the least. I pray for the gift of bilocation, but God hasn't figured I needed that yet.
The title of his book is Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport, Business, and Everyday Life. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't understand, they don't understand the correlation between what you learn and how you performed in sports and how that transitioned over into how you handle life.
I've found that all through my life personally and then the athletes that I've worked with, whatever it is that you got out of sport, that discipline, the focus, the perseverance, your ability to focus on detail, it's amazing to me, actually, how exact it is in everything else that you do in life. So the details change. It's no longer maybe sport, but how you approach sport, how you approach training, how you approach competing is exactly how you do everything else in your life.
You know, Dr. Thierfelder, number one, it's a privilege to talk to you again, and I got to thank you for your personalized note and your introduction in the book. It was absolutely beautiful what you wrote, but the book itself is beautiful. We came back with the spinners. It's a shame, and it would be a shame to not get this book, and I'm going to tell you, I don't do this all the time, but I read the book cover to cover last night.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Couldn't put it down. You could quiz me on it. I'm going to be able to tell you about it. But I love what you talk about. Every coach has always said the same thing, whether it's golf or boxing, whatever. Stay in the present, make excellent a habit. You cite story after story, the Little League cerebral palsy batter where the pitcher steps up and underhands the ball to him, the boat guy surviving, the James Braddock story, which I'm familiar with as a boxing fan, the beautiful poem, two little boys at the end of the book. But I think the essence of the book, and I want to get to this because, frankly, I want to help you sell books. This is an awesome book. And I really want this to do well. And he's donating all the profits to Belmont Abbey,
right,
which is typical of what you'd expect of Dr. Thierfelder. I think the essence of this book is focus. I think what you're saying is if you can summon that adrenaline that causes a little kid to lift a car off his dad who's trapped under the car, if you can summon that adrenaline, the way that you can come the closest to doing that is to focus visually on the most minute aspect of whatever your endeavor is. Is that fairly close?
Yeah, you have it exactly. I mean, it almost sounds too simple to be true. And I know Lanny was a coach and competed and so forth, and I'm sure Stuart did too. It's attention to detail. And it may sound like a trite thing to say, but the more absorbed you become in whatever you're doing, that is called the zone. So every time you hear people call it a peak performance or the zone, it means that they got so lost, so absorbed in the detail that they were looking at, whatever the sport was, whatever the thing they're involved with, that literally they almost didn't even know they existed. They were so into it. And what's amazing to me about the present moment is this, and I never put these two things together until really recently, and that is you know, world-class athletes have 100% to give. I don't know where coaches get the extra 10%. There is no 110. There's 100. You know, there's no secret slice under a pie, as I say. You got 100% to put into what you're doing at that present moment. If you put the whole 100 into focusing on what it actually takes to perform, that's the best you could hope for. And then on the other side of it, you know, all of time is present to God. He's got no past. He's got no future. So to the degree we remain in that present moment and we don't ruminate about the past, or we don't get anxious about the future, if we stay in that present moment, we're in perfect union with God. And I don't know, people don't usually think of this, but when you're performing as an athlete and you're in that zone and you're putting all of that attention to the detail of the present moment, you're in perfect union with God. I don't think anybody ever puts those two things together. I think they think sport and play is somehow a timeout from real life.
Yeah, and you know, you're exactly right. One of the things that I want to ask you, you've worked with a number of different athletes, whether it's college, professional, Olympic, whatever. You've had to come across some outstanding stories that really stick out in your mind. What would be one of those?
Well, I'll just give you a quick one. I worked with Bobby Engram, who came out of Penn State as a wide receiver, as a second-round pick, picked up by the Chicago Bears. And one of the things I saw happen to rookies a lot is that when they first go out, especially if they're kind of touted and they're supposed to be pretty good, you know, they get there, and first of all, they're used to starting. And it's rare that the rookie usually walks on, he's the starter. I mean, that usually doesn't happen, because at the pros, you got guys who are just as talented who have, you know, been playing for a longer time. So I knew what was going to happen, that he'd be standing on the sideline and not get a lot of time immediately, but he was used to being in every play, and that's a different kind of transition. So I told him, I said, you stand on that sideline when the offense is on the field, you get up to the edge where they'll allow you to stand, and I said, you have your juice up, you have your eyes focused, you watch the secondary, you watch linebackers, you watch that defense, and when that ball is thrown, you follow that ball until it locks into the hands of the receiver that it's being thrown to. And he did that every single play, and as it turned out, the third quarter of his first game, he got in, and it was a slot position. And you know how the pros work. They're making judgments all the time, and based on that very first play, they're making a judgment about you. He came out so focused, it was like he'd been playing for the whole first half. He came out, ran a crisp route, head snapped around, energy in the hands, took the ball out of the air, boom, first down. Well, you know what they said then, right? They said, oh, man, we made a great selection. So little by little, more plays. By the end of that year, he's a starter. And then he goes on to have, maybe 11, 12-year career, and ended up with Seattle, actually, where he finished up. So those are the kinds of things that are difference makers. And people think pros have it all together. They've got further to go than they've come, many of them. They're just super talented, but they haven't even begun to tap out all their skills, talents, and abilities.
Well, I love the story. That story reminds me of the other story. You have to read this in the book where Dr. Thierfelder is throwing a pass to a guy to loosen him up, and the guy misses a pass, and he uses an epithet about our Lord. And Dr. Thierfelder convinces him to say, thank you, Jesus, every time he misses the ball. You have to read the book to figure out why and go behind that headline, because it's absolutely brilliant.
There's a very pragmatic part behind that. It's not just think good thoughts or say nice things. There was a very practical part to how he became a better world-class receiver.
I love that. I love the story. You also say this, and this is where I want you to go further. Quote, your beliefs determine your emotions, what you actually believe, not what you say you believe. Would you take that further?
Yeah, because, you know, very often somebody will say, well, I can't help it. I'm just feeling this way. And I'm saying, well, wait, is there some external force pressing down on you? It's just like pressure, for example. Somebody tells me, I'm under a lot of pressure. I'm like, well, hand it to me. You can't hand me pressure because it doesn't exist. It's all your perspective. It's all how you look at things. You know, words are powerful. How many people have said, and I'll raise my hand right now, have said, I have to go to work today? We've all said that before, probably, right?
Yeah.
But the truth is, no, we don't. We do not have to go to work today. And people say, what do you mean? How am I going to make a living? How am I going to eat? How am I going to have clothes? I said, well, wait a second. I didn't say you had to have any of those things. You know, there's consequences to every choice. You don't have to do that. What you're telling me is, I want those things. Therefore, I want to go to work because I want those things. Nobody's making you do anything. And there's a big change mentally when you think that you have to do something versus you want to do something. And just let's take this Super Bowl right now. How many people are looking at it as the big, big game? This is the big game. Wait a second. Are they still playing with a football? Is it still a green, you know, field? I mean, they're still 100 yards? I mean, you know, nothing's changed except our perception of this is the one that really is big and really counts. And I'll tell you, to the degree that people focus on that is the degree they're not going to perform well.
You know, that's such a great point. We work with the Charlotte 49ers and Coach Allen Major. I talked to him at the coach show this week, and I said, which would you rather lose? Because a lot of coaches would either rather lose by one possession, 1 point, 2 points, or lose by 20. And he said, well, it all depends. He said, but the one thing that I can tell you is if you lose by a point, it wasn't the last shot. It was one of the details that you missed with 7.5 minutes to go in the first half that made a difference. And that's exactly what you're saying. If you don't make the most out of every opportunity, it does have an effect down the road on the final outcome.
You're right, and I'll tell you what. Think of this. Now, if I just told you about one person on your team who was this extraordinary person that in this game coming up was going to get 100% of their skills, talents, and abilities out, was going to perform at their absolute best, you know, what would you think about the chances of your team? And everybody would say, "Oh, well, that'd be great." What if you put 11 people on the field with that kind of perspective and attitude and the way they're working? I'm telling you right now, that team is unbeatable. The challenge is, can you get 11 people to think that way and perform that way at the same time? That's the challenge of every coach.
Any thought about the Super Bowl? Now I feel like I know you well after reading this book. As you look at these two teams, and may I say by sidebar, I loved, and I thought about you when I read this, the story about the deaf player, the guy who plays for Seattle
as
a fullback. Yeah, and he has a special skull cap to hold his hearing aids in. I mean, things that are inspiring. What are your thoughts coming up on Sunday?
Well, I'll tell you, both teams obviously are very talented. This should be a good game. Russell Wilson is at the beginning of his career, and he's an outstanding athlete and has come through. And people want to sort of cut him down and say he hasn't played that well recently and so forth. He's an extremely talented, balanced young guy, and he's at the beginning of a career that I think is going to be a great one. Peyton Manning's at the pinnacle of his career. And I will tell you that if all things being equal, Peyton Manning's mind, I mean, that guy comes out, and it's not by accident. He puts in the time studying film like you just can't even. I tell you, most people wouldn't be willing to do what he does. But he has the mind, and then he uses that talent to study film. So I'll tell you right now, if they can't get him uncomfortable, if they can't take him out of the game somehow, I got to go with the Broncos. He's just that good. And no matter what they're going to come up with defensively, let's put it this way, his thoughts are faster than their legs. You know, no matter how good that secondary is, his mind's faster. And so he's reading it and seeing it before they can move to it. So it's going to be a good game, but I'd have to lean towards Peyton Manning.
I think Peyton Manning kind of exemplifies what you talk about. And you just said it right there. He goes at such great detail that when he gets on the field, there's nothing that really surprises him. He's already seen it multiple times, and he's got the ability to recall it and realize and know what you did based on the situation and based on what you're sitting in. I've heard multiple people talk about it, and it's not just him, but he's fantastic at it because he can know what you're going to do before you do it.
It's because he sees it, actually. In other words, he's not. Sometimes what happens in sport is athletes are trying to be like Sherlock Holmes. They're trying to work backwards. Well, let's deduce what happened. He actually sees it. I mean, he's not making this stuff up. He sees what's happening. And so based on the fact that he can see it, he can get a ball someplace before you can actually cover it typically. Now, he's not perfect, but he does it quite well.
You know, I think the game comes down to Peyton Manning and the offense versus the defensive backs of Seattle, which brings in Richard Sherman and that whole controversy.
Yes.
And one of your chapters, and you talk about respecting and liking yourself. Can you take a second and address that?
Well, you know, I don't want to pound on the guy, you know, but I would just say I would hope that he'd at this point think, geez, I wish I had that to do over. You know, maybe that wasn't the best way to represent what I was trying to get at or what I was trying to say. And I'm sure there's a lot of emotion involved there, and, you know, it just sort of came out spontaneously. But he's better than that. You know, he is a sharp guy. He's a smart guy. And I think he allowed some other things to get a hold of him at that moment that I don't think served him well. It certainly didn't represent him well in terms of how he presented it.
You're talking about how performance is directly related to your view of yourself. Why is that so important?
Well, again, it's all about perspective. If you're completely absorbed in yourself, you're typically not going to perform well. Now, you might say, man, wait a second, I've seen some athletes that look like they're completely egomaniacs about themselves and so forth, but it's interesting to watch them. When you watch them actually perform, like a Dennis Rodman, for example, who looks like he's a circus event going on when he was playing, these guys are able to, when they actually go to perform, they click a switch, and it's like that stuff is gone, and they are completely absorbed in what they're doing at the present moment. But I would say to you, if you ask me, which would you rather have? You know, a world-class athlete that, you know, models virtue, or a world-class athlete that models vice? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious we're all going to pick the guy with the virtue. But what we tend to think in sport, especially pro sport today, is that we sort of got to take what we get. And I'm arguing that point. I'm saying I don't think we have to accept the way things are. In other words, it doesn't have to be the poster child for vice. Most of the pro guys I know, I will tell you right now, especially in football, greatest guys, you'd love to have them as friends, great husbands, great fathers, you know, good, faithful people, but you don't get a lot about them. You tend to get all the negative stuff, and we tend to focus on that, and that sort of then paints the picture, and you've probably all seen it. I mean, it goes right down. It affects high school and college and even youth league today. So it really is about, what do you believe deep down? What is your purpose in life? Why are you doing what you're doing? And those are some of the deepest questions about life in general, but I think sports is a vehicle and a way to explore those and to make yourself a better person.
Dr. Bill Fairfelder, we really appreciate your time. And Al and I were talking about it when we got to work it on this. We're going to work out something within your schedule where you can come and sit in with us for an extended period of time, because there's just so many different directions that we can go in based on what you write about.
Yeah, because, you know, it's success in sports, but it's also success in business and everyday life. This doesn't just apply to athletes.
Yeah, so you can't do it that quick. Pick up the book. The book is...
It's called Less Than a Minute to Go, The Secret to World-Class Performance in Sport, Business, and Everyday Life, forwarded by Coach K, Humphrey Willer, Jerry Richardson. Say it. I'm not in that class, but add my name to the strong.
Yes,
not at all, but you are. Dr. Bill Fairfelder, what a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you for
God
joining us.
God bless you both, and thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. We will be in touch again. We'll take a time out here on The Bottom Line. Be back with more on ESPN 730, ESPN730.com.